Ladies and gentlemen, the sports leader welcomes you to Murph and Max Power Hour.
Power!
That is all power.
It's no commercials, no BS, no around. Starting with Mike Ruco.
Had a bit.
Followed by today's top six, top six sports stories. And capped off with a cooler of content.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
It's exactly what you want and everything you need. So grab your coffee.
Who wants coffee?
Pound your juice.
This is some good juice.
Because Murph and Max Power Hour begins.
Fight the power.
Now. To all of those who don the orange and black.
A bit.
What Jerry Garcia is to deadheads.
The deadhead is that person, wherever they turn up in society, that's looking for an adventure in America. You know, something to do that's not like what everybody else does.
This man is to Giants baseball.
Good morning, good afternoon, and sit your butt down.
The San Francisco legend, Mike Ruco.
Hey, welcome back, Mike.
Joins Murph and Max.
Save it for the morning show.
Now. Sponsored by your Northern California Honda dealers at NorCalHondaDealers.com. On KNBR 104.5 at 6.8, the sports leader.
All right, well, when Pauly and Coke signed off on Friday morning, they were confident Farhan Zaidi would get something done, but nobody knew for sure if Farhan Zaidi would get something done. Well, guess what? He got it done.
Big time.
And Chris Bryant is a Giant. And Mike Kruko joins us on the UMA guest line. And Mike, I drove the family back from Tahoe, Reno. I was up in your town, driving back and listening to you and Dwayne do Kruk and Kipe on baseball, talking about Chris Bryant in the black and orange, taking ground balls. Then he hits a home run, Mike. It's all too good to be true. So good morning to you, and how about Mike, that for a day, huh?
Yeah.
Bryant the Giant. How cool is that?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
You know, it's a reward. I mean, that's what it is. It's a reward. When you're a team that has had such a great season like the Giants have had, you get to the doorstep of the trade deadline, and if you keep in mind what had happened to this club back in spring training, when everybody was forecasting how the season's going to go, and everybody thought this was going to be the Giants who were going to do what the Cubs did or what the Nationals did, basically unload eight guys and start a massive rebuild, you know. That's just the complete opposite. You know, they go out and they get a guy who not only is going to fit into their system on the field with his ability to play everywhere and bring presence to the lineup and lengthen it out. But, I mean, he's amazing in the clubhouse. And I think that's another thing, too, that Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris were so careful as to who they were going to bring into this clubhouse, because it's such a good one. And and it's a reward for the way these guys have played the first half to bring in a guy that has that type of presence on the field and in the clubhouse. And it's just telling this team that the front office believes in them. And that means everything to a team as you go into August, the dog days, the days where you need energy, where you create it yourself, and to have the front office create that for you, that's a remarkable thing. And it's really fun to watch. And you could just see it gather yesterday. I mean, we were watching Evan Longoria and Chris Bryant just take ground balls. And I was telling Dave Fleming, I said, you know, I used to go out the days that I would pitch, and I would get into a rhythm. And one of the things that I would always do is I would watch Matt Williams field ground balls. I'd watch Jose Uribe field ground balls. Robbie Thompson, Will Clark, just the way that they were relaxed into the balls. It relaxed me. And it really reminded me of that when I was watching Chris Bryant and Longoria fielding balls at third base. It was just beautiful. It was just fun. And, you know, for Brian, you figure, well, here, if he's going to be all geeked out and, you know, amped up and uncomfortable, you know, you'd see it. But he wasn't, man. He was just relaxed, and they were having fun. And, you know, they got to be a little bit of a competition thing going. It was just great. So a great ad. It was a reward. And you know, it really proved out. So once the game start.
What a scene. And, you know, we've seen it through the years. Hunter Pence in 2012 and, you know, other great trade acquisition. You know, Marco Scudero didn't get as much fanfare, but he was pretty darn good. But just, you know, these moments in time, these end of July moments when, you know, for you guys, it was a little earlier in July, but, you know, Kevin Mitchell and Dave Dravecki, and I'm going all the way back to that. And So there was that. Now, Mike, I have to ask you about your, you know, your sort of your anxiety level or interest level right around, you know, noon or 12:30 on Friday. Because it wasn't, you know, nothing. I guess what we've learned now between 2019 and 2021 is we just got to let Farhan go all the way up until the last minute.
That's how he likes to do
it. Isn't
it
crazy? Because, Mike, it was getting a little like, oh, Trey Turner's in L.A. What's going on? How are you feeling it?
Same way. I mean, we're all expecting something to get done. And, you know, we haven't really felt that strong that there was going to be a significant deal that brought somebody into the organization. And, you know, we've all grown pretty protective of the prospects down the minor leagues since they've had a huge resurgence and they've rebuilt the minor leagues. So you didn't know. I mean, were they going to give up the world to get this guy? Were they going to do this? What? And you know, we're down to the last half hour. I mean, really the last 15 minutes and nothing gets done. And all of a sudden word came across that they had picked up Bryant. And immediately you looked as to see, well, who'd they get him for? And they initially, you didn't know. And then they came up with, you know, Caleb Killian and Canario. And that's a significant give. But, you know, a good trade has to hurt on both sides. And that kind of did. But, you know, I had wished they would have done it like 3 hours earlier. But they got it done. And it was just I thought the way that it got done, it kind of added to the energy that the trade brought over.
For sure. Let's talk a little bit more about his fit. Obviously, third base. Until Longoria comes back, which we don't know when it will happen. I don't know. Maybe he just plays third the rest of the way. But, you know, they even mentioned center field for Chris Bryant. I'm like, I don't know. Is that too aggressive to think he can play center field at a big place like this? Because, you know, you think corner infield, corner outfield.
Yeah, I think corner infield, corner outfield. I don't think he's going to lock into center field. I mean, I think he can do it for a couple of games. And I think that it kind of has a lot to do with, you know, his comfort zone. And I think you'll see the majority of what he does in left field. But, look, I mean, you could put him at second base, first base. I mean, he can fill in shortstop if need be. He's just, you know, he's a guy that can do so many things for you. And you don't think of a guy who's been an MVP and a rookie of the year and a guy who's been an all-star that would be willing to do that. But I think he thrives on it. I think he likes it. He likes to have that to have that image that he can do anything. And it really is an expression of athleticism. And I think he enjoys that because he's good.
And then you look at him in the lineup too. You guys talked about this, the two hole, you know, I don't know anymore. You know, I'm old enough to remember when I could figure out the way lineups are formed now, but you know, I Buster Posey hitting in the two hole, Mike Trout hitting in the two hole. Those are things we wouldn't have seen growing up, but what do you think, you know, is the two hole going to be his spot? And if so, how do you see the rationale or do you see him moving around to the three and the four and the five or no?
Well, for now, I think he's going to hit in that spot, but I don't think anybody's married to any one spot in the lineup. And I just kind of think that, you know, that's kind of how they roll. It's likely to change. And what the first thing he told Gabe Kapler when he had a conversation, when Gabe called him up and welcomed him to the Giants organization, the first thing he said before even Gabe could go into his spiel, he just said, "Hey, listen, I'll play anywhere. I'll hit anywhere. I just want to be there." And okay. There you go. So I don't think it's going to be etched in stone that he hits that in that two spot every time. It'll be, you know, according to, you know, who the Giants are playing and who's pitching and that's going to determine where he goes. But for now, I think he's going to lock in there for a while. But when Longoria comes back, and the other thing that happened yesterday in watching Longoria take ground balls, it's become apparent that he's not that far off. So that's another good thing.
That's huge. My gosh. And then you think a guy like Wilmer Flores, who's been playing well in that spot, he just goes back to sort of his platoon, I don't know, his bench role, where just stay ready and you know, play first, or because Darren Ruff's playing well at first now, too. I mean, Mike, the funny thing is, and this has been alluded to by some of the writers, that we're heading towards a situation where they have too many good players, right?
No such thing. That does not exist.
Nice. Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about winning a division championship or a World Series is that you need everybody to come in there and do something that gives you a chance to win. And you need to do that on a daily basis. And this is kind of how they've done it all year long. That's been their strength. So I just think that they've gotten stronger in their versatility and their ability to move people around and you know, let the opponents determine where you hit in the lineup. Let the opponents determine where you play that night or if you play that night. And if you're not in the starting lineup, the one thing we've learned is that if you're on the Giants bench, you better be ready because there could be a line change as early as the third inning. And that's been one of their strengths, too. Everybody stays engaged.
Yeah, and you know, other things about this, there's the off-the-field, as you mentioned, him in the clubhouse, and also the way the Giants do things. You read that they broke into his hotel room and stacked it with Giants gear so that he walked in with his wife and kid, and there was trinkets and shirts and
nice.
Sweatshirts
cool.
and jerseys yeah. and all that. He mentioned that, though, so that stuff matters, right?
Yeah, it really does. I mean, it's small things like that that make you feel like, you know, you're in a special place. And I'll tell you, for me, I mean, it started with, you know, going from getting traded to the Giants and living in at the time in Philadelphia and then having to move from Philadelphia all the way out to San Francisco. And, you know, they just made it so easy. I mean, they just, okay, just give us the bill. You know, whatever you get, whatever movers you want, and, you know, you just give us the bill. And little things like that just take a lot of pressure off of you. You know, you don't have to shop around. You don't have to give them three bids. You just get it done and get there as fast as you can. And then it just carries on in the clubhouse. You know, the way that you're received, the welcome you get from the guards out in front of the gate when you walk in the clubhouse or when you walk in the ballpark for the first time, all those little things add up. And I thought it was a big significance. We saw his son, Kyler, in the stands wearing his new Bryant jersey with Bryant's wife, Jessica. And that, you know, that it fit. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's also just the you and Dwayne talk about how's a guy look in the uni. I mean, Chris Bryant's one of those guys. He's an athlete.
He looks good in anything, but
the black and orange look good on him, Mike.
Nice.
Well, it didn't look odd. You know, a lot of times the first time I saw Madison Bumgarner in a Diamondbacks jersey, I went, what?
Yeah. Right.
It didn't look right. But you know what? I thought that it looked pretty good yesterday on Chris Bryant.
I think he's one of those guys, you know, uniform hangs well on that athletic body. And he looked cool, man, doing his thing. His number, how about Ron? What does it mean to Ron Wotus to cough up 23? To, you know, that's the kind of team guy Ron Wotus is, Mike. Huh?
Well, he's had about six or seven different numbers since he's been the, a Giants coach, so yeah. He's kind of used to it. But I think he plans it that way.
Yeah.
you know, somewhere down the road, there will be a thank you gift, I'm sure, that Chris Bryant sends his way.
And the other thing is, we're just going to have to, you know, this is probably not the time to discuss it, but I'll roll it out there just to get it on record here that the Giants did not make this trade thinking that his career as a Giant would end in October. Like, there's a chance they're hoping he says, yeah, this works. And we kept talking about how much money they have freed up next year and all that. That, I mean, is this the kind of thing that you would think maybe it's the beginning of a long-term relationship?
Well, that's the way I see it. And, you know, we felt this way last year when Mookie Betts got traded to the Dodgers. We thought he's never going to leave there. I mean, they're going to sign him, whatever it takes. And I kind of have the same feeling with Bryant coming over to the Giants. You know, he's going to find that the culture here and the organization, the city, a pretty special place to play. And I think it'll exceed his expectation. And not many organizations can make that claim. And because of that, I think that he's going to see himself as a Giant and want to sign on. I mean, that's the plan. That's the way I see it going down.
That is the plan for sure. Now, granted, you know, you worry about yourself. Your only opponent is yourself, et cetera, et cetera. But were you a little alarmed to see Trey Turner thrown into the trade for the Dodgers? I was, Mike. I thought, okay, Scherzer, I get it, rental. Turner's not a rental. He's under contract through next year. So the Dodgers are basically telling you what they think of the Giants, huh?
I was very surprised by that. I really was. And I think that's what made the deal just, you know, jump off the page. I mean, he's a good player. And he's another guy that, you know, you see him as a shortstop, but he's played everywhere. I mean, he could play in the outfield, you know. That's a big plus for them. So it just means it's going to be extremely interesting as we go forward because you know, the National League West, that's a nasty division, and you better be playing good ball. You better have the belief that you can win in every series, and certainly bringing Trey Turner and Scherzer has not hurt the chances for the way that the Dodgers think. They think that anyway, but you know, it got a little bit stronger. Much more interesting. Bring them on.
Yeah, man.
I know, yep. Right? Well, it's August 2nd, and the Giants are in first place. I mean, this is no joke anymore. And they're three up overall, four up in the loss column. I mean, this is not a joke. And the Giants have a, I don't want to say a favorable matchup, Mike, but Playing the Diamondbacks is not the same as playing the Dodgers and the Astros. Now, the Giants did great, took 4 out of 6 from the Dodgers and the Astros, and we've said this now almost all year. It's like, okay, you got to guard against it. And I know you tell us all the time, they're all big league players, and you got to worry, and the Diamondbacks got the Dodgers Friday night, but it is a slight break in the schedule to go to Arizona after this last gauntlet of a week.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're a team that they've lost some momentum, but you can't ever take it for granted. You just can't. I mean, I think one of the things that's going to be very significant, and I can't wait to see how it plays out tonight. I think there's going to be a lot of Giants fans in the stands tonight. I think there's going to be a lot of Cub fans in the stands tonight down in Arizona. And I think that'll have a lot to do with how the Giants play. I really do. But, we have this conversation all the time, and it never changes for me. Every game I ever went out there in 13 years, I always felt that you had to go, you had to be good in order to give your team a chance to win. It's just the way it is at the big league level. Right. Because now, guess what? The Giants roll into Arizona, and you know what that represents to the Diamondbacks? That's their postseason. All they want to do now is ruin the party.
Right.
And they're going to be highly motivated. They're going to be highly focused, and you have to play good ball.
Yeah.
And, they know that. And so it's just from here on out, I mean, there's no – I mean, you take a look at the last 25 games for the Giants. They play the Padres 10 times,
yeah,
and they play 6 games in Coors Field. Now, when did you ever feel comfortable going to Coors Field?
No, just never.
Never. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, every game has to be played like it's the biggest game of the year, yeah, and that's the way you go forward.
Now, you're right. I mean, I, every time this happens, I bring it up, and you always caution us. So, I mean, the Diamondbacks have the worst record in baseball, but like I said, they beat the Dodgers Friday night, so we'll see how that goes. By the way, Mike, circling back on Brian for one more, just thinking about it, about you and he have something in common now, having been played for the great fans of Wrigley Field and then coming to San Francisco. I'm trying to think of other longtime Cubs who became Giants. I'm sort of blanking. I mean, Mark DeRosa's been brought up, but he wasn't like a long time. Like, you and Chris were drafted by the Cubs. You always talk about that first jersey you put on. I mean, Wrigley is Wrigley. He won a World Series there. But it is something. I wonder if you get a chance to talk to him at some point down on the field or something, that you guys can share the bond of two great cities, two great franchises, and you guys get to getting traded from one to the other.
I absolutely will share that conversation because, he's from Las Vegas and, he went to school at USD. And so and a lot of his time, coming on vacations from Las Vegas came over to the coastline. And so he knows Southern California. The culture. Mm-hmm. And when you go and live in the Midwest for the first time, having been raised on the West Coast, mm-hmm, it's an eye opener. It's an incredible experience, and there's just so many things that are different about the Midwest than the West Coast. And it's a wonderful place to be able to play as an athlete. And it made a complete difference in my life. My wife Jennifer and I are both in Southern California. We got in the Midwest, and it was just great. It's just a great place. The people there are just incredible. And when they embrace you as an athlete, they don't ever forget you, which is, again, we always talk about it. What do you want to be when you're an athlete? You want to be remembered. Well, my path was different than Chris Bryant. I mean, he was a Rookie of the Year, an MVP. He was a member of the World Championship after 108 years. I mean, this guy is so deeply ingrained in the minds and the love and the hearts and all the Cub fans. I mean, it's really hard to go to another place and feel like it's going to match up. When I got to San Francisco, it certainly matched up for me. And, coming from Chicago and Philadelphia, I mean, because I was so invested into the Giants and the Dodger relationship, to be part of that rivalry meant the world to me. And I think the same thing is going to happen to Chris Bryant. I do. But I do believe that his umbilical cord is about 16 layers thicker than mine was. And
I know.
It may take him a while to completely shed the skin. And perhaps he'll always have that jersey, that Cub jersey, underneath whatever jersey he wears. But I do know that he's been blessed to go to two great cities.
Yeah.
And then, Mike, finally, just last ones here, away from Chris Bryant. Logan Webb just continues this startling transformation. I mean, we've asked you about him almost every time. He's had a good start in the last month or so.
Since St. Louis, he's just been doing it.
You're seeing more and more stuff from this guy that's developing and evolving?
Well, what I see from him, and it's happened about 5 starts ago. You think, hey, look, those last 8 starts, Giants have won every game he's been in. He's 4-0, but the Giants have won every game that he's pitched in. And what he does now that he didn't do at the start of the year is he believes in his stuff, and he'll go after guys. So there's no nibble. There's no throwing your strikeout pitch early in the count. I mean, he's got such a massive dose of screw you on his first pitch that it's just wonderful, because he truly believes he's the baddest ass on the hill ever that ever played in the game. And he's competitive, and yeah. It's now starting to really, really project from the mound to that guy in the batter's box. And that's a beautiful thing to watch, because that's when a guy starts to come of age.
Really is. And then finally, just kind of the last one is they did not go get a closer. Craig Kimbrel was mentioned. McGee went out there yesterday, got his 23rd save. Rogers pitched the eighth inning. So I wondered, you know, in an ideal world, would they have gone and gotten one? Is there still something that can be done in the month of August? Or is it, hey, when the Giants are closing out the NL West Championship, you give the ball to Jake McGee?
Well, I think it's really kind of settled in that way with Dominic Leone pitching the seventh, Tyler Rogers pitching the eighth, and McGee throwing the ninth. And I think that's the most significant thing that's happened here the last few weeks. I wasn't that surprised that they didn't bring in another arm. You always can use another arm this time of year. I mean, you always feel like you can. But to put a guy into the role of closer, even if they brought Kimbrel over, I don't know if he would have closed. That's the way the White Sox are doing. They have Liam Hendricks. Now they got Kimbrel. I don't know how they're going to use them, but I don't think he's going to be a closer, you know. So I wasn't that surprised by it. I mean, the bullpen has been outstanding. They've had incredible development along the way with some arms that have assumed responsibility late in the game. And I think that's they have enough. There's not going to be any more addition time. That's over. That's the beauty of the new trade deadline. That's it. You have one trade deadline. That's it. So from here on out, if you bring in another arm, it's going to come from within your organization.
Well, Mike, no shortage of thrills, no shortage of adding gigantic names to the squad, no shortage of first place Giants, man. It's just awesome. Here we are in August, Mike, and they are in first place over the Dodgers. So let's ride it, ride the wave. Play a couple in Arizona, and then we'll talk to you Wednesday. How's that?
In a bit.
Mike Kruko, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Paulie, you're listening to the KMBR Morning Show on KMBR and KMBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader. He did look dead sexy in the uni, didn't he?
Who are we talking about?
Chris Bryant.
Yeah, he looks great in the uniform. I thought you might have still been talking about Logan Webb, because he's looking damn good, too. Copes called out the jaw when we were in St. Louis, and he just continues to go out there and do it. But yeah, Bryant looks...
By the way,
awesome in the Giants uni.
Chris, K-R-I-S.
I understand. I got that already. Yeah, Chris with a K.
Shout out my cousin, Chris Copeland.
Shout out Kiss with a K.
I believe it's your sister's birthday today, right?
It is my sister's birthday.
I saw that on Facebook.
I shouted out. Yeah, happy birthday, Carolyn.
So,
yeah.
Carolyn, happy
four
birthday.
Four-letter names or things that start with a K and end in an S.
Hottest band in the world, Kiss.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm asking.
Lightning bolts for the S's, by the way.
Is he the hottest third baseman?
He's
the
hottest third baseman in the world. Okay. We wanted
That's
the best.
Question.
We got the
That's
best.
It.
Yeah.
That's
we
it.
Wanted the best. We got
Can
the best.
Can you give me a Chris logo in the Kiss font?
Stand by.
All right.
I'm on it. I mean, it's by the time
Paulie's
we're back from break.
Do it right now on KMVR. Power Hour rolls on KMVR 104.5 and 680. These sports later.
Mike Kruko with Murph and Mac has been sponsored by your Northern California Honda dealers at NorCalHondaDealers.com. The Murph and Mac Power Hour surges on.
Feel the power.
Next on KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.